Hey, everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And John's gay.
Brian's here.
This is coming out episode.
This is the Nintendo, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet.
His wife is completely beside herself right now.
This is the Pokemon show for the month of March 2022.
The kids keep asking, does this mean we get two dads?
Well, they already have Brian.
Three dads. Yes.
So, we've got a lot to talk about on the Pokemon show here. There's some game announcements. We've got some Legends Arceus stuff to get to. Pretty packed show already. But before we get to the Pokemon stuff, I got to do some housekeeping. Because there was some stuff that I had in my notes for the official show that I totally missed. Totally whiffed on all of it. And also, I feel like we just recorded. I feel like we just did this yesterday.
We did just record on Sunday, and today's Thursday, so...
Right, but, yeah. I was having a lot of problems with the podcast hosting site and with Dropbox, so the episode didn't upload until Tuesday, but, Monday and Tuesday was in a lot of drama, so I feel like I've just handled all this podcast stuff, and here we go again. But, so, I was having problems with Dropbox, so the first time I published the episode, it actually published with a different file, so when I went back to give it the listen to make sure everything uploaded correctly, I immediately hear the Earthbound music, oh no, that's not official show music, and it starts, going through a show that we had already posted. I was like, fuck. Okay, time to post the real show now, so I had to go back and re-upload another
file. Right, we're going to have to put you in charge of this now.
Yeah, you might. But it was a lot of emailing back and forth with the hosting sites and trying to figure out what was going on. But we did eventually get all straightened out. But upon actually re-listening, I realized that there were some news things that I did not mention. There were some new releases that I do want that are also worth mentioning. Earthbound Beginnings, and Majora's Mask were all added to the Switch Online service, which are all very cool games. Majora's Mask is excellent. Wes, yes.
Yeah.
Thumbs up from Majora's Mask.
I'm tempted. I think they have so much to play.
Yeah, that's true.
So many games, but I won't play Majora's Mask again.
And you know, I think the next time I do get into the Nintendo Switch Online stuff, I might up the subscription so that I can go through Majora's Mask. But my subscription actually lapsed because there was some fraudulent activity on a credit card.
Oh.
So I had to...
That's why you don't use your actual credit card on porn sites. You go and get a gift card.
It's good advice. It's good advice. And maybe they'll start taking Wii U eShop cards pretty soon because those are going to be useless if they weren't already useless. But neither here nor there because...
Oh, did we not talk about that? And how in 2023 they're going to...
It was in the notes that I sent you. Earlier today. But yeah, no, please, take us away.
Oh, just, yeah, future-proof all your tech right now if you want any other retro Pokemon games on your 3DSs. They're only going to be available in the shop for purchase till the end of this year, I think it is, or is it?
March 2023.
Yeah, so got to get them now if you want them. They're going to shut down the trading services that exist within there, so only way you can trade Pokemon in the future are going to be...
Peer-to-peer.
Scary times.
Yeah, the GTS will... And I think, the Pokemon stuff is what the three of us in here would be most at a loss for not being able to use anymore. Pokemon Bank is going to be free starting, I think, immediately. So you can start transferring all your stuff over into Home, which you should do. I did that a couple of months ago. Cleared everything out, so... Everything is in Home now, but it's not a complete living Dex, which bothers me. That's a task for a different day. The other thing was the Wii U eShop is also shutting down, and most things do on the internet, it causes this big ruckus where people are up in arms about these shops closing and not having access to these things anymore. And the Switch has been out for 5 years. If you haven't done all your Wii U e-shopping at this point, I don't think you're gonna.
Right.
If you haven't gotten your copy of Cloudberry Kingdom, I don't think you're missing out on anything anymore. It's fine. Hey, these things close eventually. It sucks. It sucks that there's going to be things you don't have access to anymore.
They can't keep it open forever.
Right.
That's just them... I mean, they got the money. They could do it.
Right. And
it's not like they can't.
Does that mean that the values of certain people's Wiis and 3DSs are going to skyrocket because they have complete catalogs of these old games that you can't get on any other handheld?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I got a Wii U with Affordable Space Adventures. There's no other way to play that game.
Oh, yeah. God, that's such a good game.
Affordable Space Adventures is cool.
We went through that. We did it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of games.
Despite Ryan's wild honking the horn during the stealth segments, we made it.
I forgot about that.
They haven't made a game yet that I can't troll you guys.
Yeah, but, you know, the Wii U launched in 2012.
How are we going
to
play
it's now 2022. Like, these things have to close eventually. Like,
how are we going to play our Wario Land games?
Yeah, how
that was, believe it or not, a highlight for me of the retro gaming we've been doing on actual Nintendo hardware.
Mm.
That Wario Land game was a trip.
And it is unfortunate. It's like on the 3DS where there's all these Game Boy and Game Boy Color games that, you know, there is no other, there's no Nintendo online service for Game Boy games. On the Wii U, there are, you know, Game Boy Advance games and DS games and, you know, some Super Nintendo and Nintendo games that never came to the Switch online service yet. And it's going to be a bummer that those are going to be, you know, permanently closed off.
Lost in the sands of time.
But if you haven't gotten them yet,
again, yeah,
bad news. You only got a year left to do it.
Right. You know, slightly bad news. In the distant future, which may not even happen with the way mankind is going right now, you won't be able to buy it. But for at least the next, you know, year and about a full year, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. And then they are going to cut off the possible credit card transactions. I think that's in...
Oh, that happens sooner because they don't want people storing a bunch of, like, eShop money and then not using it.
Right, right. You still be able to use, like, eShop, like, gift cards, eShop cards to load money onto there kind of indirectly. So, you know, there are going to be ways to do it. I think past, like, May, I think it is, you won't be able to use the credit card anymore. But, you know, I switched on my Wii U, which I had forgotten. Like, I had an external hard drive for that thing, and I never set it up when I moved into this place, because why would I set up an external hard drive for the Wii U? So there's a bunch of stuff that I have to re-download. So it's about, like, a cheap little $8 USB stick so I can get everything downloaded. But I went through my wish list on Wii U, and it was like, there's maybe a dozen games. And I was looking, I'm like, I don't need any of these, actually. No thanks. And I went through the 3DS. I think there are a couple, like, virtual console games that I might go back and pick up, like maybe $20-$30 worth of Game Boy games, but will I do it? Probably not.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, Majora's Mask, big thumbs up.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What a game.
Oof.
And then Earthbound is a really interesting nostalgic RPG. There are some things that are kind of clumsy about
I just can't get into it.
But for like any like things specifically, like inventory management is clumsy in that game, and sometimes some of the quest lines, like the order of things that you have to do in order to continue progression of the main game, is a little bit opaque. But I think like for every like weird thing that it does, every weird decision or clumsy decision that they make, they do two other things that are really cool. Like the way that like all your characters have different skills and abilities, how they handle battles are not random, and when you're overleveled to the point where the battles become trivial, you just automatically win and get the spoils of that battle when you bump into an enemy. So I think it's a really interesting game, and I think it would be much improved, not only with save states like you get on the Switch online system, but also with the rewind that you would get. So, yeah, really cool that game's on there. Earthbound Beginnings is a bit more archaic. Obviously aged a bit more because it came out on the Famicom, originally the NES in Japan. So that is a game that's very grindy. There are these level jumps where, you know, you're about to take on the next boss. You should have spent an hour or two beforehand grinding out enemies. And they do give you a couple of places where it's handy. Like, you got a quick heal spot. You go out, like, right outside the quick heal spot. You fight a bunch of battles. You heal up again. You fight a bunch more battles. So, you know, in that way, it does feel like a very old RPG. I think compared to a lot of RPGs of its time, it's a lot more playable. A lot of that might be just be because like the more like whimsical tone and different sorts of like not high fantasy environments that they put you into. It's a different flavor of RPG than like the Final Fantasy or the original Dragon Warrior that were its contemporaries. So it's an interesting piece of history, and a lot of times we say that about older NES or Game Boy or even like N64 games. But in this case, I think it's like actually an interesting game to play, not just like, look at this weird thing that they released. Like River City Girls Zero. That's a piece of history. It's not very interesting. It's not very good either.
No.
One thing that did also happen with the Switch Online stuff is apparently the emulation got improved. So visually and some of the performance stuff has been taken up a notch. And there was a fighting game collection announced. Capcom's bringing some fighting games to Switch on June 24th.
Yay.
I put this in for Ryan because he keeps making fun of our boring RPGs.
Well, thank you for putting that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I recognize some of the characters in it from other fighting games, like the Marvel vs. Capcom series. I'd never heard of.
Yeah, there's like a couple of Darkstalkers games, and I think those are the only things I'd heard of.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of the beat-em-up bundle, where it's like, here's like seven just random beat-em-up games you've probably never heard of.
These look a little more like the modern fighters that they had made, a little more in the vein of, like Street Fighter.
Mm.
Trying to think of the names of the characters that I recognized from it, but there are a handful of them. Looks cool enough, though, if you're into that. It seems like it's a little bit of history for a lot of these fighting games that didn't really take off over here because we had, we had Street Fighter. We had King of Fighters and Mortal Kombat, that kind of stuff.
Right. Morgan was probably the most recognized character because she appears in a lot of their Capcom fighting games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how's Pokemon Go?
Oh, it's wild right now. It's very busy.
Because they had that Johto thing, right?
Yeah. We're just coming off of this big Johto event that they had, which they did last year for Kanto. And this year, they're basically kind of opening the floodgates for every bit of Gen 2 that exists. So there were 6 Pokemon that still hadn't had their shiny versions come out.
Hmm.
So they put the shiny versions out there. They gave you increased... It's one of the more expensive things. They usually don't charge as much as like the most expensive thing of the year, but it's like $11. You can buy it if you want to do it. And they give you like this whole research project that you can go through to kind of keep you busy and give you all kinds of fun stuff to do. Give you like crazy increased shiny odds for specifically the Gen 2. I didn't complete it, but I actually had a thing where you need to evolve every Gen 2 Pokemon.
Oh, God.
And you would get some kind of a really nice capper reward, but nothing like absolutely essential. Oh, and just like tons and tons of raid passes. Like I did, I probably got maybe 250,000 experience in the game just doing raids. So I'm level 40. I'm actually at level 40 right now. I need 6 million experience to get to level 41, of which I have got like 3.1 million experience.
Hmm.
So it takes a little while. It's a bit of a grind, but hey, what isn't? Yeah, so like just from like my shiny hunting alone, not that the shinies are the only thing that matters, but like
whatever. It is, Ryan.
Yeah. I got a red Gyarados, because of course that's what happens, and that's how they introduce the fact that shinies exist.
Right.
I got a Mistrevus, a Meryl, Gloom, Wooper, Chikorita, Houndour, Porygon, Suicune, another Meryl, Raikou, Sunkern, Ladyba, Onix, and I fully evolved it, so a Jumpluff. So all that shit went down. Very, very cool. They've also introduced, just now, literally 2 days ago, they started introducing the Alolan Pokemon. The only Alolan stuff that had appeared up until this point in the game were the Alolan variants.
Right.
So, like, Exeggutor. Like,
again, Meowak.
Yeah. Like,
Meowth.
They're already in the...
Yeah. Rattata.
All these are in the game.
Muck.
What is it?
Shit, I can't think of any more. Raichu.
Raichu, good, yeah.
What about Ninetales?
Ninetales, yeah.
Ninetales and whatever
that was. Sandshrew.
Yeah, Sandshrew. Which, by the way, can you bring up Sandshrew? The 13th is going to be the Community Day event, and it's going to be Sandshrew, both versions. So they'll have high shiny odds, and usually they give you some kind of bonus, either it's Stardust or Experience or something. So worth hunting them down if you care about that kind of thing. But yeah, so they're just kind of like getting those out. And of all things, like the shiny versions are already available. So like I've got a shiny Alolan Exeggutor already. But that's neither here nor there. Right now, now that they've opened up Gen 7, it's really just a handful of Pokemon. It's kind of the first stuff. Usually in the games you get your starters, you get a rodent, you get a bird. Mm-hmm. So you kind of
sometimes have a bug.
Sometimes a bug. So right now you've got Rowlet, Litten, Popplio, what is the first form of Gumshoe?
Yungoos.
Yungoos. and Toucanon, whatever the
Pinky Peck.
Yeah. Yes. So you get all of those right off the bat.
Toucan was fun.
No grubbing yet?
No grubbing. They do. I've already got three of them on hand now because I've been doing the raids for them, but Tapu Koko. So if you want a legendary, you can get Tapu Koko right now. You can also get, through raids, a Rockruff. And I haven't seen any, but I hear that you can get, what is it? The Dragon Fighter one. I can't think of the first
Terminator.
Jangmo.
Oh, Dragon Fire or Dragon Fighting?
Fighter. Dragon Fighting.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Jangmo, Hakamo, Komo.
Yeah, so you can get that as well. And only in Hawaii, you can get a Comfy.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You can get what?
A Comfy. Remember the Olay-looking one with the flowers?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, that's the other thing. This kind of sucks. Well, not sucks. It's good.
You have to go to Hawaii now.
Yeah. Well, it's good for the rest of the world that this happened, but not so much good for people in Florida, because one of the Pokemon exclusive to Florida, and only Florida, was Heracross. You could only get Heracross.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty badass. I'm okay with that.
Here. Which is why, and I see them all the time, so I never realized just how rare a commodity they are. But during this Johto event, of course, all of the Pokemon are available all over the world. So anything that has very rare stuff, you can now get it. So everyone in the world should have gotten their Heracrosses now if they needed that to complete the Gen 2 decks.
Rats. We're no longer special.
Yeah. Or, I mean, well, if
there might be new people that jump in.
Yeah. Sure. If you weren't busy playing this event, like, hey, if you guys decide you want to get into Pokemon Go again, well, you've got this. But they're going to find that there's a lot of Pokemon that you can't get that are just simply, like, not available here in America at all. Another interesting one that is literally a Florida exclusive is Carnivine. Like, why? I don't know. It's not a cactus, is it?
What's a weird plant?
It's like a Venus flytrap kind of thing.
Right, yeah. I don't know why Florida. I've never associated that with, of all of the different Pokemon in the game, that it would be a Florida thing.
Do we have any native carnivorous plants?
I don't know.
I think we do.
That'd be badass if we do.
Everything kind of eats everything around here.
I'd go for one of those as a house plant. I'd like to have one of those.
Yeah.
Eat the flies.
I'm trying to just think of some of the other ones that are exclusives.
Starve and die. I don't think about it. I keep a pretty clean house.
You do?
Cool, good talk.
That's great. So I really dig Pokemon Go. I play it every day. I've really gotten back into it. I love it. Did I tell you guys I got an auto catcher?
Yeah.
Fucking love it. Auto catcher is amazing. It's wonderful. Every day I collect 100 Pokemon and some of them are shiny.
Have they introduced all of the Unova and Kalos Pokemon?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe they're all available. Again, some are probably just in various regions around the world that you can only get to. Like, I can't even remember what they are, but I know one is specifically in New Zealand. One can only be found in Egypt, Israel, and I want to say Turkey. Like, just in that little Eastern Mediterranean area. Yeah, there's a lot that are only found in, the Southeast Asia. Some are only found in Africa. Some are only in South America. You know, there's Pokemon in random spots all over the world. But thankfully not a lot are like that. And that also means that since they've got some catching up to do, they're literally just now introducing the 7th gen to Pokemon Go when, like, they've announced this year we're getting the 9th generation of the game.
Sure are.
And they're just putting
Scarlet and Violet, here we go.
Right? And they're just putting a toe in the water of, like, Gen 7 right now. Mm. There's a lot of Pokemon they need to introduce, like, that they haven't gotten to yet. So the way that they're... At some point, they're really going to have to turn the faucet up on this game. So I think that's probably what you're going to see over the next couple of years, hopefully, is them really getting the completionists what they want now for Hoenn and for Sinnoh. Sinnoh, of all things, like, I can't believe they haven't done that with Sinnoh, with everything else that's happening in the world of Pokemon right now.
They don't have all of the Sinnoh Pokemon, the Gen 4 stuff?
I mean, just not all of them and all of the ways that you could... Like, I mean, if I brought up my Pokedex right now, bear with me for a second, but... If I brought up my Pokedex, I haven't completed the Sinnoh region. I'm still missing stuff. Like, for whatever reason, I haven't found a Pachirisu, a Chatot, whatever 458. I haven't even seen what it is in the game.
What's it before and after? What's it sandwiched between?
It's not an evolutionary thing. I mean, it's in between Finneon and...
Abomasnow. Or a Snower.
You know?
It's not Lumineon?
No, it's Finneon, Lumineon is both of those. Oh, okay. Whatever that is. It's like a fully evolved.
So it's a single form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a one.
But between the Lumineon and Abomasnow lines.
Like, yeah. Gligar, I could evolve a Gligar if I had the thing. Like, A bunch of legendaries are missing from the game, or if they have, I haven't seen them circulate yet. So just, you know, as you scroll through the game, oh, and like fucking the simmies, that's, I know that's fifth gen, but like the simmies is like the only ones that spawn here, at least in Florida, are the water ones. So like I've never seen a simmie sage or a simmie seer or anything like that. Struggle, man. Every day is a fucking struggle of my life trying to complete this goddamn Pokedex. Did you know that level, so once you hit level 40, they not only give you like an experience cap you have to hit, you have to do like specific achievements just to please them with their horrible sadistic games, you know? And it's like, one of them is that you have to catch 200 Pokemon in one day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was the easiest one for me to complete too. One was like
doing... Because you have an auto catcher.
Yeah. I mean, but the tricky part is have you stockpiled enough Pokeballs?
Oh,
you just
right.
don't want to like have a war of attrition with the game and run out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Point. And like I already looked up what the ones are for 40... For now, I'll be 41, so from 41 to 42. One of them is that you have to evolve every single Eevee.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, there's all kinds of just random... Oh, and what was I bringing up for? Once you're at 49... I'm trying to think of what it is. There's just... So you have to get platinum status on achievements in the game, and you have to have at least 29 of them. And like I've got 4. and it's always like getting gold status on a thing is fine. Getting gold status is like walk 2,000 kilometers, which sounds like a lot. The platinum status is like walk 15,000 kilometers. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of the fucking ground to cover with your fucking phone.
Yeah.
To get that achievement, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like, catch, you know, fucking... the easiest ones to do are all of the... you guys got me rambling. I'm stopped. I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not talking anymore about this. I like Pokemon Go a lot. And if you like the Alolan Pokemon, they're here.
Number 458 is Mantyke.
Yeah. So I did Mantyke. That piece of shit.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. And also, 15,000, you said, kilometers? Is it the distance you have to walk?
I think so. 15,000? Yeah.
15,000 kilometers? Never mind. I'm trying to look the distance from the Earth to the Moon. And
oh. I would do distance across America. That's basically back and forth and then halfway back again.
Mm. I was trying to get it to show me in kilometers. It kept on trying to give me miles.
Just pull Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Just grow a crazy beard and just start going.
Mm-hmm. I could do that.
No, I think you reverse the order. He started going and then grew the crazy beard.
Well, I mean, either way, you have a crazy beard.
Isn't the better thing to do just create a perpetual motion machine and then put my phone on it?
Yeah.
And then just have that
happen. There were stories about that when the game first came out. People like taping their phones to a ceiling fan to hatch eggs.
I don't think that would work because it's such a short distance. It's like if your house had a train, like one of those like hobbyist train kits, train cars, and you sent it around.
Yeah, because
that's probably a better way to go about
it. Like the little kid rides at a fucking Disney or something.
Yeah.
Because duct tape you to the bottom one, the seats of a fucking...
If you worked at Universal driving around those people and the things... And you probably have really good Wi-Fi access. Yeah, that's like the perfect way to do it. You would do it so fast.
It does unlimited data.
It does judge your speed. Because there were times where, you know, I'd be at work and I'd have my phone just like active in my pocket to calculate miles. But if I'd be like driving like in one of the company vans or a golf cart or something, it wouldn't be calculating the distance that I was going. Yeah. Like, hey, you're not walking. This doesn't count.
I don't know what that brake limit is. I know once you've hit 25 miles an hour... because I don't drive 25, I run 25 miles an hour. No, I've noticed that once you hit 25 miles an hour or higher, the Poke stops don't spin anymore. You can't cash those in. But under 20 miles an hour, you're good. And I've noticed that I think it's around the same, about like maybe 20 miles an hour that Pokemon stop spawning. Where if you're just driving so fast, they're not even going to generate in the world around you. So
yeah,
you kind of gotta thread the needle. You gotta basically be on a skateboard the whole time.
They should have done, like, early on, they should have done that on, but, like, if, like, judging your distance, like, from a fall, because there are all those stories about people, like, falling off the edge of, like ledges and stuff and getting hurt, because they were staring at their phones playing Pokemon Go.
I feel like you should get some kind of, like, I don't know, some charity basket from them. If you end up injuring yourself playing their game, they've got to be like, well, at least you're that
dead. It's a hidden achievement.
Yeah, they'll send you a basket.
Platinum. You got to fall off 3 stories.
Yeah, they send you a basket of oranges and grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Gen 9. Lots of oranges and grapes everywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, yeah. Yes, open world Pokemon.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we're talking about Arceus now, or
no? Gen 9, the new hot shit. Fuck Arceus.
It's old with, news now.
We're done with that game. That Arceus
piece of shit.
Arceus was a tech demo for Pokemon Gen 9, Scarlet and Violet.
I'm going Violet, clearly. No, I don't.
I mean, it is weird because like. The naming convention, Scarlet and Violet, you know, when you see Scarlet, you're like, okay, they're going like off of a red and blue thing, but if they're like doing red, blue, ruby, sapphire, why not go Scarlet and Indigo? But if you look at the themes of the game, a lot of the, in Violet, or a lot of the stuff is, of course, purple, and then in Scarlet, a lot of the stuff, your character model shorts and shirts and ties and things, are orange. So I don't think they could come up with another word for orange, so they're like, fuck it, Scarlet.
Yeah.
Well, you're clearly going Scarlet.
I am, yes, of course.
Makes me think that much of the world isn't aware that the orange is a thing.
Hmm.
Like, would they come here and be, like, marveling at our what, citrus?
What is this fucked up lemon?
You know, yeah. That, by the way, is a thing. Just in case anyone's not from Florida and ever goes to Florida, this may sound like a weird thing. Eat one of our oranges. I swear to God, if you've never eaten a Florida orange, it's the best thing. Like, it's, oh my God.
That's supposed to be Georgia oranges are the best.
Peaches.
Georgia makes peaches.
Oh, that's
they,
right.
They make peaches and Coca-Cola.
That's it. Nothing else.
No, our oranges just outclass every other orange in the world. They can just suck a dick.
God damn it.
Florida oranges are the best.
Really want an orange.
Yeah, you should. They're really great.
Fucking A, I want
and
one
you
right
know,
now.
Like, we have, like, we're going to brag for a little
do
bit.
Do you have any oranges?
No, Mika ate the last one.
God damn it, Mika. It's got good taste.
We're going to brag a little bit about living in Orlando because, like, go to the store every day and get fresh produce every day. Where, you know, you go to other parts of just, like, this country and, like, no, we can't get cantaloupes because it's March. Or, you know, you can't, like, find watermelon every day. Or you can't find oranges. Or you can't consistently find strawberries and things. And we can just do that. So
like,
just...
maybe it's by the sausage.
Skip dinner, guys. I'm so hungry.
So
we got sausage and powdered milk.
Killing me right now.
So, you know, when you see like the stories and the punchlines about like the Florida man headlines and things like that, like I'll tolerate it because I can just get corn on the cob whenever I feel like it.
You absolutely can. Yeah, no, that is one of the nice things about being in Florida is that we get all of the most amazing produce.
Yep. So. Nothing's ever out of season.
Yeah. Just got to worry about those alligators. They're in the shops too, man. They are fucking everywhere. Can't take a bath in this place.
And now some of them have fire powers, like the starter and Gen 9.
You've done like 5 different segues today to get us back to this.
We're talking about Gen 9. We're doing
just
it.
Just keep slipping away. You're like, you know, right, oh, let's talk about something else.
Here's the thing, though, because I didn't look it up. I'm using someone else's information here. But somebody we even brought up, like, so this region's based after Spain, right? And they're like, are there even crocodiles in Spain? And the the next comment after that was like, I'm from Spain. I've never seen a crocodile in my life. And the next comment after that is like, yeah, there were 6 million years ago. It's like they all tied out. They came over. They're in Morocco.
There's going to be some time traveling going on.
This is Spain, and it was confirmed for... Spain. Well, not
I don't think
there's a poster that live action thing actually had a bunch of clues in it, and one of the things was a poster of Spain.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had not come
like
out.
Fucking windmills and stuff. There's windmills in Spain.
Of course there are.
Okay.
Yeah, like Don Quixote. It's probably a nod to
I don't know.
Don Quixote.
I think I see windmills, I immediately think like Holland.
Holland
or
no, you see despair, and you think Poland. but yeah, I don't. Game Freak, the Pokemon company, have not come out and explicitly said like this region is based on Spain, but they've dropped the hints.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you know, you look at like the names of the starters, Sprigatito.
Oh, I didn't even know what the names were.
Fuecoco, Fuecoco. That's the fire crocodile. Quaxly, the Trump duck.
Wow. We come up with better names, man. Fuego del Queso.
I was about to say, what was the name of that thing?
Babacade.
Babacade.
Fuego del Queso. Oh, I love it so much.
Oh. But yeah,
we should just fucking make a game. I mean, just screw it.
We'll see why not. I've heard it's very easy.
Yeah, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be
able
to...
Very little skill or effort.
It takes like 20 minutes. It's not that big of a deal.
You just like talk to your computer and tell it what you want it to make. And. But yeah, what do you guys think of the starters?
I mean, their names are ridiculous.
Oh, I'm going, is it Sprigatito? I'm getting that.
Sprigatito?
Yeah, I'm getting that little grass cat.
I like the grass cat. Grass cat's very cool.
Somebody, the top post I saw on, I think, the Pokemon Reddit thing was, like, someone had circled its front paws and was like, these stay on the ground, motherfucker. Or they're like, they're so tired of all these humanoid-looking cats. It's like, please, just let this be a fucking cat. It's like, it doesn't need to be a luchador wrestler. It's a goddamn cat.
Persian stays on the ground.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, yeah, like, all this, like, shit. Oh, that's the first gen of the game, man. They hadn't realized how they were going to fuck them up yet.
I think one thing that was also nice, in the trailer they showed a vanilla Meowth. Like, Meowth does not have yet another form, seemingly, in this game.
Not yet.
We'll
not
see.
Yet. Not yet.
We'll see what happens.
You're clearly going fire, aren't you, John?
Yeah, probably. I like the fire starters.
I was all for this duck until Ryan goes, so what do you guys think of the Trump duck? I was like, fuck, now that's all I can see.
it's
Trump. I think if he doesn't do a spray tan every 10 minutes.
I think John's the one that said he looks like Trump.
Oh, was it John with the Trump duck?
I did also notice the Trump duck.
Yeah, I thought he looked like Scrooge McDuck.
Mm. But, you know... It the duck is growing on me. You know, it probably won't keep that coiffure throughout the entire game.
I thought it was a hat.
It might be a hat.
No, it's like a hair.
I don't know. I don't know what's got going on.
So it's ambiguous, just like Donald Trump's hair.
They're both made out of the same thing.
Trump's hair might be a duck. We don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's going to be like Hannibal. They take the thing off and it's just an exposed brain.
Oh my God. But yeah, I think I'm interested to see what these starters turn into as far as, like, their typing goes, because they're monotypes when they start out. And hopefully the duck doesn't become a water flying, because those are really exposed.
Yeah, are we presuming they do take on new types? Like, the last gen just was all monos.
There might be a mono.
I mean, the last gen was? No, the last gen was
Sword and Shield.
Oh, yeah, they were all
monos. Oh, I mean, I guess Arceus.
Yeah,
Arceus has unique Pokemon, yes.
But, yeah, it better not be a water flying, because we got Pelipper, we got fucking Swanna. I mean, I'm sick of these water birds.
Gyarados.
Well, Gyarados isn't a bird, but I'm sick of these water flying.
Sure he is. He's a fly. Of course he's a bird.
You know what I mean.
People were speculating it could be, like, a water fighting.
That'd be fun.
Like, it could end up with, like, like Don Quixote. Like, it's made end up with, like, a rapier or something.
Like a far-fetched, surfetched.
Yeah, bingo.
That'd be interesting.
Are you guys excited for this open world Pokemon? You're going to have towns interwoven with...
Yeah, no, of course. This is awesome. I love it.
Yeah, and the way that they make it sound in their little website pitch was that it's not, like, segmented, like Arceus is segmented with the different areas that you travel to.
It's just straight up open.
It's all just persistent open world with interconnected towns and stuff. Makes me wonder how they're going to handle things like gym battles. Because it's a mainline Pokemon game. I think, like, there has to be a presumption there's going to be some sort of gym battle or trial or something to that extent in order to, like, give you your progression path.
Is it going to be like Dark Souls? Like, this is the way you're supposed to go, but if you wander in the cemetery, you're going to get fucked up. Like, it's...
You know, I thought about that. Like, it could be something where, you know, they do gate you off from certain areas with Pokemon that are too strong. They did a little bit of that in the wild area in Sword Shield.
They gate that off. Like, you couldn't get there. There was a... dude staying at the bridge, like, no, don't go over there.
But there were parts of the wild area when you first got there, if you went over, like, to this side or that side.
Yeah, you loop around to the right there where the Steelix is. Yeah, they're pretty big.
But you could have it to where, like, gym leaders just scaled with you to your level, or you could just have, like, the sign outside the gym, like, oh, you can only challenge this gym when you're at this particular level. So, you know, there are ways to get around just letting you go wherever you want. I don't know. I don't know if Game Freak would go so far as to, like, have the game scale with you. It's possible. But I think it's far more likely that they say, like, no, this is your next... this is the town you want to go to next. If you do end up wandering off to this side of the world and go to this town, you're not going to be able to challenge a gym. Hmm. Brian, were you about to say something?
I just had it stuck in my craw that you would be in Dark Souls and there would be a path that said cemetery and you would just be like... I'm not going there. No, I'm not going there at all. It's like, here's the candy factory or the cemetery. It's like, which well, one do I go to?
Here's the fireworks and laser show.
There's a crypt. Brief clarification. There's in Dark Souls 1, when you first get to the main area ready to start the game, there's two different paths. There's one to the right that leads up to the castle, and there's one that leads to a graveyard. And the graveyard's really close by, but if you go to the graveyard, you're end up, if you go past the graveyard into the catacombs, you're just gonna get fucked up. Like, they're just too strong. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to go to the castle first.
That's just a game that has nothing nice for the player, is it? It's just always brutality.
Oh, no. Yeah. The object of the game is, here's this wall, you need to be on the other side of it, and the only way through is using your face. So that's...
I just remember seeing this great one, where it's like this guy's like, there's like this narrow pathway this guy's walking down, and there's just a skeleton archer just plucking arrows at him, and he's got to do this amazing like timing thing. And like every time he's just barely, and he's making such little progress... And then he gets over there and he takes the skeleton out and he's like, all right. And then he walks another step forward and there was another skeleton on the other side of it that kicks him off. what a dirtbag game.
I'm pretty sure From Software doesn't like people who play games.
Yes. Yeah, I'll do one last...
This will make him stop that.
Dark Souls 1, there's this very tiny little like ledge you're supposed to walk up. Yeah. And then when you finally get up this... very thin ledge, so it's essentially just you wide. While you're running up there, there's an archer on the left and there's an archer on the right, and they're not shooting normal arrows, they're shooting fucking great arrows, which are like the size of your torso. So if they hit you, you're going flying off the ledge. So you have to dodge those, and then when you get up there, there is a ledge that is essentially smaller than what you currently were on, and the dude is directly in your path, so you still have to get through him with another fucker shooting arrows at your back. It's the meanest thing in all the games. Like, that is the one moment that has scarred me. Fucking hate those archers.
Meanwhile, in Wind Waker, there's like ledges that you have to like sidle and creep along, and then when you get to a corner, he like peers his giant head around the corner, like gives a really suspicious look. It's adorable.
That's a lot of fun. All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah. You guys have any thoughts on the character models for Gen 9?
Top of the line.
Yeah?
At it again, making the best graphical fidelity you've seen in video games.
Right now, it looks slightly worse than Arceus.
The actual like playable character models, you think?
Yeah, I mean, just a little bit.
I think what we've seen so far, Arceus probably has a bit more like personality to it, because it's a bit more customizable. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've heard the word like Uncanny Valley thrown out there. The phrase Uncanny Valley thrown out there in terms of how their faces look. I don't particularly care all that much. Like, I didn't particularly like the character models in the Link's Awakening remake. That's still a really great game. I don't think that... To me, like the age or the look of the character models is not nearly as important to how the game is going to play.
Now, I'm just curious if it's going to be combat like Arceus, where you're still like running around the dude and it's pretty much... You just throw the guy out and it's, you see everything around you, or if it's going to go into its own separate little...
They've shown very little of combat. From what they've shown, it looks like the battle layout is pretty similar to Arceus. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful and I'm pretty optimistic that it will go back to like classic mechanics of, you know, like paralysis actually meaning something, and like stat buffs and debuffs actually meaning something.
I don't like
held
them,
items and abilities.
Held items, like abilities, that. Natures.
I don't want them to bring the Arceus combat into the new one. I wanted to go back to the old stuff. That's I want an open world like Arceus like that, but I wanted still to go da 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 dun dun. I go into the whole little.
It would be nice though, because
I still want them to stick with that.
It would be nice to have some of the Arceus catching mechanics in there, and I don't think that's likely to make a return. But it would be nice, like if you want to catch something, if you just like see it out walking. You're just able to chuck a ball at it rather than having to initiate a battle and have to go into a battle screen.
I would like them to do that, but once we initiate battle, it goes into a battle screen. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want the... This is Pokemon, that's Arceus. Come on.
And never shall they meet.
Never shall they meet.
Well, because Arceus definitely has a different, you know, a different mentality to that kind of gameplay it has. It is very much a catching game. It's like 90% mm-hmm. catching, 10% battling.
Yeah.
You know, like, I literally just did one of, like, the last battles of the game in Arceus, and it's like, me against a level 30 Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like a level 50 and two level 30 Pokemon.
So yeah, that was ridiculous. I just did that too.
It's like, come on.
There is, without getting into too many spoilers here, there is some end game stuff where you actually will have to have a party with you in order to do some effective battling. I went into a fight right at the end of the game where I just had like two of my main party members and some other stuff that I was just like grinding out the Pokedex for. And I had to do the battle again. I was like, I'll be right back with two more Pokemon. I'm going to fucking kick your ass.
You didn't just throw a bunch of sacks at it?
No, well, it was actually against another trainer.
Oh, okay.
So it was like an actual Pokemon battle.
Yeah.
I got countered by a fairy type because I was rolling with just my...
All fighting.
My Samurott and Umbreon. So, like they took me out pretty effectively. But... Neither here nor there. It is, you know, in addition to, I think, what they're doing for, like, a battle layout, it's using some of the assets of Arceus in there as well. Like, some of the trees and shrubs and the grass look pretty familiar. They do have time to do some cleaning up here. Debatable whether they will or not, because, you know, they cleaned up Arceus a little bit from when they first announced it. But, you know, I think that there are some things that look notably better. There are some lighting effects and some shading and shadow effects in there that are better.
I think Sword and Shield graphically looks better still.
No, I disagree with that. I think that there's a lot...
I gotta watch the video again then.
I think there's a lot more going on, particularly like with the architecture of the buildings and the stuff. Like the open areas, I think, look a lot better than they did in Sword and Shield. But, you know...
Sword and Shield looked, for the brief bit I watched, looked more colorful and fun. Like, this is a little bit more... Like, Arceus feels a little bit more... I don't want to say bland, but the colors are definitely duller in certain points and everything.
I don't know. A lot of what makes Sword and Shield look good is the diorama effect of it. You know, it's sort of like you're looking at it a certain way. And then you get into the wild area, and it gets a little more... I don't know. Less... full, like less vibrant, less colorful, but like, you know, when you're like in those and pre-built environments they have, when you're doing your traditional like Gen 7 and before Pokemoning, like all of those environments look fucking incredible because they're very small scale, you're right on top of them, and they every little bit of it they got to do the design and detail of. In Arceus, you really don't get that. Aside from like the main town area, you don't see a lot of, you know, construction that looks intentional. You know, you get a lot of bunch of big open world spots.
Yeah.
So.
I
don't know.
I don't want them to change the Pokemon too much from what I love.
Yeah, and I feel like Arceus almost feels like a test drive with this. It's sort of like, this was sort of like saying, we're going to go this one direction with it, and now we're going to try and bring them back. It's going to be a little bit of a hybrid of both models. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You guys going to get it? You going to get
I'm gonna pass.
Yeah, you gotta wait for Gen 10.
Yeah. I think I'm just gonna mostly get to Pokemon Masters.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's at.
Play some of the mobile games for a while.
Yeah, probably even Pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Pinball.
Pokemon Cafe Mix.
Yeah, you gotta do Cafe Mix. That's for real. I think Wes is on has to play it, though.
Right.
God.
Because he lost the last quiz game.
We did a 1-2-3 night, and you didn't say so. So, you know.
It'd be a text, and I was at work.
How is that my problem? All I know is you're playing Cafe Mix. Enjoy your 5,000 diamonds. Whatever it is. Get a sign-up bonus.
So, speaking of Arceus, how's it going for you guys?
Going great. I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Good talk. The end.
Yeah, that's kind
of... So long.
Yeah, like, where am I at? I just did... I literally have spent 5 minutes having the flying braviary now.
Mm-hmm.
So...
The gliding braviary?
Yeah, the gliding
braviary. God, that's so disappointing.
You know, the thing is fucking massive and it can't fly me. Like, what?
Nope.
You're a big boy.
And from Gens 1 to Gens 8, you can get like a fucking Spearow to fly you around. Braviary can't handle it. The braviary, when I got it, I think I was under the same impression you got, like that this was just going to be a way to fly around and like, and maybe you'd have like some different encounters when you're up in the air, and that's going to be, you know, the primary purpose for like the feather ball and.
I mean, there's a fucking flying Gyarados. It's just circling around above the waterfall. Let me go up there and fight him in the air. That'd be badass. Yeah,
you got to land and snipe your spot to throw a feather ball or something akin to that at it.
Yeah.
There's no fighting in the air. There's no catching in the air. It's just a way to glide to your next destination. And, you know, it's... there's not a ton of fast travel points in any given area, so I don't want to like say that the flank's completely useless, but a lot of times if I need to fly from, you know, the beginning campsite in the coastlands up to the volcano, it's going to be, you know, fly face first into a mountain, which then will prompt you to switch to Sneasler, climb up the mountain, and then glide the rest of the way to the volcano. So a lot of times you got to make some stops along the way to your destination to land and then reset and get back flying again.
Well, it also does seem like every area has a high ground.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have at least one camp that you can go and you're just like immediately at the highest point of the map or somewhere near one of the higher points and you can just kind of go to wherever you want.
Mm.
So, you know, that's good.
And it is also, you know, pretty useful for tracking down all those wisps, which, you know, is a thing that you can do in this game if you want to get a Spiritomb.
Oh, is that what that is for?
I mean, I have to assume. Like, I haven't finished it yet. I still have a few wisps in each area to get to. But
I think I think I'm closest in the first region where I'm only missing, I want to say two. I think there's two more.
You spent like 30 hours in the first region.
Yeah, something like that.
Who in hopes you got those?
But these wisps, there are two side quests in the game where they just send you on a hunt, a pixel hunt, essentially, where, you know, you got to find all your wisps in each area, and then you got to find all your unknowns. There are 28 unknowns. They're just scattered around the world. They don't spawn like other Pokemon do.
I found two.
They're usually very well hidden, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure are.
I found two.
I had to. There's 28. That was a lot of the past couple of play sessions, a lot of time I've spent just hunting unknowns. And using a guide, because fuck everything. I found like the letter L. I found the L, and I found, I think it was the B or the C. I don't know. There was one that was just like in an abandoned campsite in the moorlands.
I think that was the one I got, and I got the one in the first area. There's that little tiny island surrounded by the Magikarp and Gyarados.
Okay, yeah.
There's one there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That's all I got.
It's not particularly fun.
I thought it would be a little bit more, hey, there's an unknown.
Yeah, they could give you like a radar, a hint that something is going to be nearby. I didn't think there
would be this absurd to find.
Yeah. It's
I've just got Ursaluna.
Hey, you know, well, I was going to say maybe not a bad idea to be able to like give an unknown scent to that thing and follow around, but then I think of the dowsing in Skyward Sword. It was like, how fun was the dowsing in Skyward Sword? Not very.
Yeah.
So why would I want that in Pokemon as well? Mm-hmm. Did you guys use the Ursaluna?
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. You need the Ursaluna to get the evolution items for Cleaver and Ursaluna. So I did it for those.
I got some bad news.
What?
You don't.
I don't?
Probably just buy them.
No.
Why don't I?
Because the one for Cleaver you can just find out of like rocks that get mined.
Oh, fuck.
Along with a bunch of other evolutionary stones. And there are a couple of side quests. And once you finish those side quests, they just give you like, here's the thing for Ursaluna to evolve.
It's not that big of a deal anyways. I mean, it took me literally 10 minutes, if that. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It didn't take long to find it. Like, the first item in the first area, first time I used Ursaluna, got me the Cleaver evolution. So I was like, oh, I'm done.
The side quests the side quests just to get gifted the item is the ones where the lady is lost in any particular region.
Oh,
so you have to... They say you have to use the Ursaluna to track her down. And no, you don't, because YouTube exists. Like, YouTube just like type in the quest, like, she's right there. Cool, I'm going to go get her. Because to me, that wasn't the fun part of the game. Well, the fun part of the game was not like going...
Just taking all the magic out of this game, aren't you?
No, the fun part was like when you go to your map and you're going to pick a place to go to and you see like, oh my god, there's a fucking Munchlax swarm. I fucking need a Munchlax, so you go there right away. You catch all that shit. Like that's where the fun of the game comes in. Mm-hmm. In the Discord group, one of our buddies, Brian, he actually got into the same situation where there was a Munchlax swarm, and in that swarm he caught like an Alpha and a couple of Shinies.
Nice.
It's like, yeah, that's the fun shit. Mm-hmm. It took me forever to find a Vulpix. I had not encountered a Vulpix at all.
Seen one and I think I missed it.
I caught an Alpha Ninetales before I ever even saw a Vulpix.
Oh, shit.
And I looked up where they spawned and I was eventually able to get one. And then, you know, after I had grind it out in order to, you know, fill out its Pokedex without ever catching more than one. Then they just like spawned in a swarm. And I was like, I'm going to catch you all, you motherfuckers, just out of spite. But yeah, that's you know, what I have the best time with.
Working on the living decks. Good? Which is
good?
Tricky, because I have a lot of holes in it. I'm like, I don't know what goes there. So it's tough to be like, what do I need to catch still?
All I know is Wes just said he's got a lot of holes. He doesn't know what to fill it with.
Yep.
Well, I got some ideas.
Story of my life, man.
So, I mean, I think it is a good way to organize. It is weird that Pokemon has never done just like a quick organize to just sort things by Pokedex number, because I think that would be probably the most intuitive way to just do a quick sort.
It's also really fucking annoying when you're like, did I complete this Pokemon's Pokedex entry? I don't know. Let me just toggle through all of them because I don't know what it's at. Like, there's no clean Pokedex for me to just look up that one particular one. Like, it goes, here's all your complete ones, then nines, eights, and blah, blah, blah. So you have to cycle through all that to figure out, where's my Sligloo? Am I done with Sligoo? Can I evolve this thing now? There's no good organization for that, which is weird that they didn't make a better organization system for that, when that's like the fucking game.
Yeah, this game is very much about catching large quantities
and filling out the Pokedex and everything, and the Pokedex is like the sloppiest thing in the game.
And I think like building a living dex is a good way to like organize your own mind. Like, okay, I need to check on my Sligoo. I know that I put Sligoo, like, he's arranged in this box. He's kind of close to these other things. So I can scroll through really quick until I get to the point where I think he's going to be. You shouldn't have to do that, though. Like, it's a good way to sort of train yourself to where they're going to appear in your Pokedex. You shouldn't have to. There should be an easier way.
I'm talking about, like, where to find it if it's not completed Pokedex entry. Like, where to find it in the non-completed section.
Right.
So I know I can go there and look up what I got to do to complete it. The other fucking thing that annoys me is, if it's in your party, why can't there be a quick button? Like, when you can select it and go check summary, why can't there be a quick button to go select it, check Pokedex? I had to go fucking cycling through the Pokedex and hunt the thing down the list of the other 100 and some of them.
Yeah, it would be really handy to... Game Freak should hire you. It would be really handy to like have that quick check Pokedex entry so that you can see, like, okay, do I need to change some moves around in order to...
Yeah, and it would be a lot easier, too, because you can... fill up your... You can have your main two guys, your Umbreon and your... Samurott. And then your other guys that you're trying to fill out the Pokedex. And you can just quick view them, ditch them when you need to. I mean, it would be so much quicker and easier to organize things.
And they do so many things where they did make a lot of things quicker and easier. Like, being able to change moves on the fly is great.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a really, really great addition.
They didn't need to bring that to Scarlet and Violet.
Being able to, like, a quick warp to a campsite and just be able to talk to the guy to switch out your Pokemon, while not as quick as it was, like, was in Gen 8, where you could just kind of switch things on the fly. It makes sense that you have to backtrack a little bit, and he's at every fast travel point, so you just warp back real quick and then just continue on. So I think they did a good job of making that all quick and accessible.
They have some cool stuff, but like this simple thing, like just Pokedex organization. I mean, that's the fucking game.
They have a quick sort for the items in your bag. You can set your favorites, so the stuff that you want access to right at the top will always be sorted at the top. You know? It's like they thought of everything except their encyclopedia. Now we'll just have the 10-year-olds handle this.
Yeah.
Ah, well.
But
overall, yeah, really good game.
I have... completed, in quotes. I've done the minimum 10 for 235 out of 242.
Jeez.
There are still a couple of things I have not caught. There's a, do you guys care, like, if I tell you what legendaries are in the game, or do you want to...
Okay. No, go ahead. At this point, I mean...
Thundorus, Tornadus, Landorus are in the game. I have not caught them yet, and there's apparently a fourth new one. I have a side quest to go track them down, but it's going to depend on weather
conditions. Is it going to be like the legendary cats? They're just going to pop up randomly, like a swarm encounter almost?
No, I think from what I was reading in the side quest description, they appear in certain areas when certain weather conditions appear, so it's probably going to be a lot like resetting the moon phase. You got to go to a camp, rest up, check the weather conditions, do the same thing over and over again to get them to appear. But you know, catching legendaries in this game really isn't such a hassle. There have been a number that, you know, you get them down to red or yellow health and chuck one Ultra Ball and I caught them. Mm-hmm. So they really don't make it to where, you know, it's that arduous a process to get these things. But those are the four major gaps along with Spiritomb that I have in the Pokedex right now. And then I think I got seven to go, and of course one of them is Cherubi, because that little motherfucker
still can't find it.
Will not. I found one. I have found one. What? I found more Cherubis. I found like maybe three Cherubims. I cannot get
You looked it up online.
Like, oh yeah.
What are people saying? What is the best strat? Just like hit up certain trees.
Yeah, they're the Pokedex will tell you like it spawns in these areas. And, you know, of course, you know the trees are shaking, so it's just like, you know, a matter of checking the area to see if the trees are shaking. Hope that it's not a fucking Burmy or Wormadin, and you know if they're not shaking, then leave the area and reload it. That seems to be the solution for a lot of things in this game. Like,
yeah,
fucking leave and reload, except for space-time distortions. Yeah. Don't ever leave or reload.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it took
that one's got an interesting setup on it.
How do you get the space times? Is it just a matter of being there longer?
Wait. He's got to wait.
Yeah. Basically, don't rest. Don't use the rest feature at all. And what will happen is that a timer will start. So if you're in the same... And don't leave the zone, of course. But if you're in a zone...
When you say zone, you mean like the one section?
The region.
The region. Okay. Yeah, don't go back to the main
the town.
Yeah. And then what will happen is every 5 minutes, the game will do a check to see if a distortion will spawn.
So like roll the dice.
Yeah, first 5 minutes is a 10% chance, and then I think it escalates. It goes from like 20 to 30 to 40 every 5 minutes. So basically, by the time you've hit like the fourth, 20, 30 minutes into it, you will at that point just statistically be guaranteed to have one spawn. Mm.
It took me an hour and 15 minutes a few days ago.
Yeah, that's insane.
Hour and 15.
To get one of those things?
Yeah, in the coastlands, because I needed a Magnemite. And the only way Magnemite spawned is in a space-time distortion in the coastlands. I was in the region for an hour and 15 minutes, and the last 20 minutes of that, I was like, I'm letting the game run, and I'm going to get some lunch. And every, like, 5 minutes, I'll go back, anything spawned yet? Nope, jeez. Sure hasn't. And then, of course, like, after that time, it spawned, and I was like, I'm getting these fucking Magnemites, Ultra Balls, motherfuckers. And yeah. I caught the Magnemites that I needed. But Jesus Christ.
So
it was terrible luck.
Yeah, yeah. And well, and within those, there's also a like less than 1% chance that they'll spawn as alphas.
Mm.
So you get like the main special Pokemon, and then you got the one, there's going to be like three normal Pokemon that spawn, and they're like, in that case, a Magnemite. And then you have three rare items, but then the rest will be plates.
Right.
So, and I've been using it now on the handful I've actually done, and this strategy works perfectly. It's so nice. Basically, as long as you don't care about the items, or like, I mean, if you want to try to get some items, but basically the end result is that you need to, when they do start spawning, don't have any CU, go to a grass patch that's near the edge of the circle, and then just wait there. And what'll happen is you'll be crouched in the ground, and because you're by the wall of the space distortion, when they do spawn, they'll start walking away from the wall, essentially walking away from you. So then you've just got easy back shots on all of them. And then just get your feather balls and just
save everybody with feather balls.
Yeah, yeah, and even if they do like break out and they start freaking out, they won't know where you are, and they won't come.
Who
closer.
Who the fuck did that?
Yeah, they won't come closer to you because you're by the wall too. Like they'll just keep. They'll wake up. They'll freak out, and they'll just keep running further away.
Hmm. Well, I use the space distortions mostly for the items because that's where I've gotten some. My two link cables I've gotten to evolve. No, three now. Was it? Yeah, I got a Golem, a Champ, and a Gengar. So I got that's where I got my three link cables.
Nice.
So that's mostly why I use the space distortions for, because I'm like, give me some evolution shit, like I need.
Yeah, it's handy to use those to get the evolutionary items, so you don't have to feel like you got to track down, you know, 15 satchels to buy one thing.
15? Is that the number? I think it's more than that, because I mean, I still haven't gotten enough to get one.
It depends, because returning the satchels can like range from giving you like maybe 40 or 50 points. Sometimes they'll give you a high.
They're like 1600.
Sometimes they'll give you as high as 80 or 90.
They're like 1600.
Oh yeah, cost. I've got like 2000 of that stuff, and I already actually did buy a link cable with it. So, I mean, I've gotten a bunch, but, like, it's the sort of thing where if you're literally in an area and there's one nearby, it's worth picking up, but it's not worth going around a map to collect them.
That's how I used to start every play session. It was like, okay, I'm going to a new area. Let's go pick up some satchels.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that to get that magic. I have a alpha Scyther just waiting for his metal coat.
Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the first things I did when I got the Scyther before, or the Sizer before I got the Cleaver. Yeah, and
the Cleaver was easier.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sizer actually rips. He's really, really strong throughout this game. So I've run with one for a long time. I just finally benched it because I just wanted to put some other Pokemon on my team.
I just have alphas on me now.
Yeah, I got all alphas except for my starter.
I just always have alphas and my starter on me.
Yeah. That's like the rare, and it sucks, the rarest thing I've seen so far that's run away. I mean, there have been some shinies. Not that I've run away, but I've caught a handful of shinies. I guess those are rare. But the rarest thing that I really regret not catching was I did see an Alpha Eevee in one of the space distortions and didn't catch it. Do you get one?
I got one.
Nice.
I got an Alpha Eevee. I don't know what to evolve it to yet. I'm like, do I evolve it to something I already have because it's cool as an Umbreon? Or do I use it to fill out something I'm needing? I don't know what to do with it yet.
Hmm.
Jolteon.
Leafeon. Alpha Leafeon.
I have a Leafeon.
I have a Leafeon too. I have an Alpha Leafeon spawned in a time distortion.
Nice.
Nice.
But, you know, early on in the game, I was going through, I was like, I'm at 100% all these entries. You know, I got, you know, these, like a Buizel, and I got Lopunny, and I got that all 100%.
The earlier ones are way easier than the later ones, I feel like.
But then, like, as I'm going through, you know, I'm nearing 80 hours in this game, and I'm looking at all the entries, like, catch 5 Alpha Umbreon, go to hell. I haven't seen one. I'm not going to catch 5.
So, even on some of the simpler ones, like Abra, there's one about scaring Abras with scatterbangs.
Mm.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? I gotta sneak up on these assholes in the first place.
You gotta, like, scatter all the smoke bombs just so you can hit it with a scatterbang.
I just burned all my smoke balls. I gotta go and collect the items for them now.
Mm.
I'm pissed. This is the one thing I use the most is smoke bombs.
You can probably just use them. Buy the components from the guys in town.
Yeah, I mean, money's not that important anymore. I just burned 20,000 on fucking item storage space.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got up to where I was paying 30,000 for item storage, and, you know,
I'm around 20, so I'm like, fuck, like, I don't want to burn 20,000 on one storage space.
And at a certain point, like, once you get a point to, like, where you're kind of rolling downhill and you're heading toward the end game, you're not, like, gathering materials so much anymore. So yeah. You spend all this money early on expanding storage space, and then, like, you're running by things. Like, I'm not picking you up. Shut up.
You just put this guy's kids through college. Like, it's just, fuck this guy. As extortion, telling me how to pack my bag better. Fuck you,
So it's like he's giving you a bigger bag. He's just teaching you how to fucking Mary Poppins your bag.
Yeah, and that's all he's doing. Like, god damn, I hope you're not, like,
this he's is a like wizard.
It's a crack addiction. He's your paper is coke habit. Like,
he's some sort of wizard, and he knows just how to do. He probably, like, invented the Pokeball because he's, like, squeezing these creatures down to this tiny thing.
Yeah,
he's in the wrong line of work, is what I'm saying.
I don't know, I still like to collect a lot of the items as I go around.
Yeah,
I mean, and again, it's just part of the fun. It's just, like, you know,
if I'm passing it, like, I'm not gonna go out of my way to grab a fucking, what that purple little bulb plant thing is. I don't even know.
Oh, it's like, it feels cool when you're, like, toggling through your things. It's like, oh, rock here, two trees here, bam, 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 bam.
I do like
back
doing
on
that.
Get back on the fucking.
I do like doing that. Like, you go to that tree. You go mine
and
that
then
thing.
And you're Stantler
you
out of there.
Fight that. Yeah. And now I'm going to initiate a battle with this Geodude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm leaving them behind as they're getting shit for you.
You're booking it. They're, like, carrying all this, like, dragging it behind them.
Dad, come back. No, fuck you. Get my rocks.
I brought you some minerals. I don't need any more Pokeballs. Because I seriously have, like, 700 apricots. I will gather every time. I'm running by. I feel like, yep, go get them. I'll stop for medical leaks because I'll tell you guys, there's a side quest where someone's like, bring me 100 of those.
Really?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Wait, do you give them to them?
Oh, yeah.
You're just now out 100 medical leaks?
You are.
Can you just buy
fuck
them
that guy?
I think they might be purchasable from one of the...
There's a component guy, yeah, that's, like, over near the woman that teaches you battle moves.
Mm.
That'll sell you component pieces and stuff. I feel like you can buy them there.
Still annoying that they're asking for 100, though.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is a lot.
I just bought my my Rodham machine. Oh, for yeah. I just it was thing. There was like a, I forget what he said, some machine with a buzzsaw. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I bought it. Went to the house and I'm like, oh my god, that's how I make a little Rodham guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I just gotta find Rodham.
He'll sell more of the machine so you can change your Rodham forms. That's, you have like cool, a whole collection of different form Rodhams.
Yeah.
Do you want to know where Rodham is, or do you want to find it?
I mean, I'm guessing it's in the last area because I didn't see it in the stone area.
No, it's in the Highlands.
What's the Highlands? Which one's the Highlands?
The most mountainy one where all the Heracross spawn.
Oh, the place with the Sneasler?
Place of the Sneasler, yeah.
Oh, it's actually in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I haven't come across that guy yet.
There's the camp that's near the path that takes you up to the summit.
Yeah.
In that camp, there's like a path that will take you down like toward a waterfall. And at night, there are Mysterios that spawn in there. But then there's also a chance that you can roll a Rodham. And then also, if you just head east from that camp, there's like some ruinous areas before you get to the actual ruins. There's like some pillars and stuff, and there's a chance that a Rodham will spawn in there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I just caught my first Mischievous, and then I caught my Alpha Miss Magius today.
There you go.
Very cool.
So second I did that, I'm like, well, you're going to the box spot and you're gonna live there forever.
Right. Right. You are now part of the living decks.
Yep. You that's where you stay.
It's one of the really fun things about the game is, like, sometimes, like, as you're filling out the living decks, you'll come across an alpha of something. It's like, do I have you as an alpha? I'm going to catch you anyway, just to find out. Like, you go through your decks and you're flipping through, and it's like, I do not have an alpha, you know, Miss Magius. Now I do, and this other Miss Magius can fuck right off.
Well, I have a separate box for just my alphas.
Okay.
And I'm still going to catch the normal versions for my living decks, and then I have my alpha box.
Are you going to make a living decks of alphas?
No.
you say that now.
In the box. I'm good. So
you need a living dex for your regulars. You need a living dex for your alphas. And you need a living dex for your shinies.
Like, I'm catching the final evolution alphas. Leaving it at that. Like, I'm
there alpha shinies? Because we can make Wes do so much collecting.
There are, in fact, alpha shinies.
I'm not catching alpha shinies.
You say that now.
If I see it.
Well, it's getting difficult because it's like my last box is the shiny Pokemon, and then the top row is some Eevees, and then the ones that I just like to use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next box after that, the next two full boxes are all alphas. And then after that, I've got a third box of alphas I'm building. And then I just got a slew of shit. It's, again, like, I would literally got to the point where I didn't have enough space to catch any more Pokemon.
Mm.
And I had to, like, go through and just the first eight boxes, wipe them clean. Just get to delete everything. You know, and it was just...
Is there an alpha for every Pokemon? Is that, yeah. Are we getting that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There should be. That's, I mean, cool. Every Pokemon has a chance, small chance to spawn as an alpha, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gonna build that dex. You're gonna do it.
I have an alpha. I'm rocking on my party right now, and it's gonna stay on my party. I have an alpha Togekiss.
Nice.
Not bad.
Did you catch it as a Togepi?
Yep.
Cool.
I had my Togepi. I just got it to
Togetech.
Togetech. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And I saw that alpha Togepi. I was like, fuck you. Just have to make you friendly bullshit.
Again, it's actually really easy to do that, though.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much. Go farm all this mineral for me.
That's it. As I run away. I'm abandoned.
I make you like me through labor.
Clearly they love it. Right. Otherwise they wouldn't evolve. I mean, it's also really great how they streamline evolving things. Like, if you catch something that's just at a high enough level to evolve, you just evolve immediately. You don't have to wait till you level it up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, kind of like the manual evolving. It'd be nice if you could skip the animation. And I don't know, maybe you can. Maybe
I like the animations. Buttons.
It takes so long.
It's all dark, except for the eyes. You're like, oh, that thing looks scary. What the fuck is that?
Time in my day. I got seven more dex entries to fill.
You like
Let's
the animation
go.
Until it's like you got to evolve seven Magikarps. That's your complete dex entry.
I don't care enough about that. There's no way on hell I'm doing that.
Really. Catching Magikarps is so easy, though. It's like as soon as I got the Basque Legion to ride around, like, ball Magikarp, like, that was one of the fastest things that I met the minimum requirements for. Took 2 seconds.
But then again, it's like you can just as easily catch a bunch of Gyarados and an Alpha Gyarados. Mm. Like in the same...
Yeah.
And the Gyarados are easy as fuck to catch too. Basically all the water stuff.
Yeah, none of them have spawned yet. Like I saw them the one time and I was not in a good point where I can catch it.
Yeah.
and it has not shown up again.
Are you one at a good point in your life?
No,
you're
I was going through some stuff. I forget what the situation was. I think it was just, I wasn't staying in the ball, and I had like one guy conscious. Like it was something like that. I was like, I cannot.
You left your team decimated.
Well, keep in mind, you can have all your Pokemon faint, and you don't faint.
It's true.
You just got to get your fucking ass out of there. Mm. You just can't initiate a fight, and they can attack you.
There's no whiting out.
That would
what
be.
What gen was it when you whited out?
Yeah.
It was a lot of the earlier generations.
Yeah. And then there was blacked out, and then just. It was just weird that they worded it differently in a couple of gens. I'm like, all right, this is odd.
He whited out. You just found a pile of cocaine and dove in.
It was, rode the rails. It was just a weird term. I was like, I whited out?
What yeah, the hit the slopes.
Fuck. What does that mean?
I bet I said that he'd give you like one weapon. It's like, here's a knife. It's like, there's a riot. You know, like a level 70 right on in your face. And it's like, I got you this time, friend. Get in the ball.
it's a very strange Pokemon world, like even more bizarre than Pokemon worlds typically are, because
right.
You know, like in Pokemon games, like everyone's always so impressed that you know your type alignments, like, oh my god, you're so good at Pokemon, you use super effective moves.
Yeah.
Or is it this one, everyone's just so fucking impressed that you know how to throw things. It's amazing. Like, oh my god, you have more than one Pokemon? How the fuck did you, how do you have the arm strength to throw more than one thing?
I mean, I'm sure it comes up with the story when you get to play the game, but I always thought, well, it's so weird to me that they had to go with the thing with your main character fell from the sky and is from another world. I'm like, I could have just been here. Like, I just could have just been a dude. They didn't need to do all this other random shit. This just seems really random to me.
Oh, there's like,
it's the same setup though as that. What was that book series, Off to Be the Wizard?
Yeah.
Mm. He basically shows up in the ancient history with a cell phone.
Well, anime has been doing this a lot lately. Where people have either, like, they woke up in another world, or he died and now he's reborn in this world, and they're going from, like, the regular, like, typical modern-day world to world with magic and shit. They're doing this a lot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, fuck, Pokemon's doing it now.
Like, I think to a certain extent it's like a power fantasy. Probably something that's aimed more at a younger audience where, you know, you're the person from the future, and you have the knowledge. You already know the way the world works, and it's going to make you the best, like no one ever was.
You know who got it right, though? Tactics Advance.
Oh, sure.
The narrative of Tactics Advance is so tragic for that reason. It's basically about a kid in the modern day who's just got a broken down life, and his dad's a drunk deadbeat. And you're trying to break him
out of the all the other kids fantasy. Like want to pelt him with the snowballs.
Yeah, yeah, he's being picked on, and he builds this fantasy world that he gets to live in, where he's a prince, and everything's great, and everyone loves him, and his dad protects him, and you're the one that basically has to tell him that everything around him is a lie, and has to, like, beat them all.
I'm going to take you back to the world where you're a dork.
Right? But then that's great, because then you beat it, and at the end, it's this really nice thing, where it's like the dad's, like, got a job now and all this stuff worked out, you know. Like, is everything, and like all the kids stop throwing snowballs at him or whatever.
It's like Calvin and Hobbes, when the parents realize that Calvin just lost his mind years ago and he ends up in the insane asylum.
That's not a thing.
Like, Hobbes isn't real, pal. Your imagination's going a little too far.
It's like when you what is it, who's the guy that's in the Garfield comics, the human
John.
It's John. Like, it's John, yeah.
John Arbuckle.
There's this great thing where it's Garfield. It's like, it's called Garfield Without Garfield, and it's basically what the panels would be like if you just removed Garfield from the equation. And it just, John seems like such a broken man.
Yeah, he's abused by his cat.
Yes.
Without question.
Terribly so.
As most humans probably are, abused by their cats.
Yeah.
Hopefully the new cat doesn't do that.
Echo?
No, the
Meowth?
Not the fucking Gen 9.
Oh, hang on, let me look at the name.
Skibligadoo.
Splittigus.
Spaghettios.
Sprigatito. Yeah.
Sprigatito.
Sprigatito.
I think they were trying to word like gato in there somewhere, a Spanish word for cat.
Yeah.
But still,
no, it's clumsy.
Sprigatito and then quackers.
Quaxley.
Quaxley, whatever.
Come on, how did you go with a worse one? I like Fue Coco. That's a fun name to say.
Yeah.
I wasn't sold on Fue Coco until I found his name was Fue Coco. I was like, you know what? Yeah. I think...
But he's not as good as Fuego de Queso, but...
No. None of those are as good as Fuego de Queso. That's the pinnacle Pokemon name.
What type was he?
Poison. Fire Poison.
Fire Poison.
Yeah. That's a great combo. I like that.
So good.
Anything else about Arceus that we need to address before we close it out here?
No, it's good. It's a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is. I think they did a lot of good, interesting things. And now it's time to move on. Gen 9.
But we still got a lot of Arceus to go, because...
Well, it's also going to be like
we need content till the new one comes out.
Quiz games here on out.
I don't know if you guys remember, but I did tell you about that, the theme of doing a RPG Nuzlocke.
Oh, that's right.
Where like you kind of come up with a theme for your guy. And you sort of give yourself a benefit and a drawback.
I'd be down for doing that. If you can give me the list or the website or whatever.
Oh, we,
a class.
We were just spitballing them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there was a thread where other people were doing the same thing, but it's kind of just like you pick an RPG class and you can kind of... You know, if you want to be a thief, it's like, yeah, you can only use darks and poisons. You can, but you have to use like only, I don't know, fast hitting moves or like what
would be
like
critting
fast
hitting
moves, crit moves, mm-hmm. moves that increase evasion or make an opponent less likely to hit you, things like that.
I'd be down for doing something like that.
You know, whatever, you know, pick.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be a fun one.
We just have to pick which version we want to use.
Sword and Shield. That's the only version I got now.
What? What happened to your DS?
I left it in Belgium with Jeremy.
Oh, that's tragic.
Oh, and yeah, they stopped nailing things. Mail doesn't work anymore.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah. Sword and Shield.
Fucking DeJoy. God damn that guy. All right, cool. Well, next up is the mini show. We talk about whatever we feel like.
Yeah.
I got games.
I got games.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't play games anymore. I play Pokemon, and that's it.
Hey, you know, sometimes all you need...
Yeah, that's true.
I just bought Elden Ring tonight.
Uh-huh.
So
good.
Maybe I'll start it by then. Probably not.
It looks real good.
Yeah, but I got Ghost of Tsushima to go through.
Mm.
So much. That game has so much shit.
I saw that you were playing the Triangle Strategy demo.
I turned it on.
There's a lot of talking. Because
I was watching something, and then after 10 minutes of just talking, I was like, fuck this
noise.
They're
talking at you, yeah.
Oh my god, just fuck this noise. Like the demo, the first thing I'm like, go and talk to people. I'm like, no, just let me chop some fucker's head off. Like, come on.
Yeah, now you're coming over to the darts guide. Skip all dialogue, always, at all times.
Like, it just got to a point, I'm like, yeah, I don't fucking care.
We're going
to
make stories a complete thing of the past. No more narratives, ever.
Yeah. It's just graphs and maps. It's just maps and graphs.
Oh my goodness. Like a film that's just an Excel spreadsheet. Yes.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I want a game where I need to look up how I'm supposed to play it before I even am able mm-hmm. to play it.
Yep, gotta look up your builds.
Yeah.
They have to tell you how to play it in order so you can play it optimally the first time through.
I'm figuring that shit out myself.
Yeah, well, you don't have time to play multiple games or like play games multiple times through. You gotta do it perfectly the first time. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Sayonara.